Welcome to Horrorsperia. My name is May.
And my name is Clinton. And we are on season 2, episode 2.
Yes, we are doing our countdowns of some of our favorite films, our favorite horror films.
The United States this time.
In the United States this time, yeah. So we will have our foreign horror episode up soon. And then this one's going to be up.
Well, by the time they hear this, the other one should already be up, right?
Yes. Okay. So everyone enjoy our episodes. No, yeah. It's fun to kind of get back into the swing of things with countdowns.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. We've recorded the international top five.
Which was fun. That was a fun one.
But that was some time ago for us.
That was back in September, right?
And yeah. Now we are in November.
And October was a busy time for us.
It was. It was Halloween time.
Yeah, we did a lot of. We went to the House of Horror.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of Laurel,
Maryland.
Uh huh. Shout outs to Laurel, Maryland, and we did an escape room.
Yes, and it was based on Evil Dead and a couple other
Resident
films.
Evil. And yeah.
Oh, The Conjuring. Yeah.
And maybe one other. It was good.
It was interesting.
I had fun.
Have you been to a professional haunted house?
No.
Yeah, so I
Well, this was perfect. Was this not professional?
No, it wasn't. Oh, okay. I grew up in Orlando, so I always went to Halloween Horror Nights. And it's just difficult when it's just that good.
Yeah.
You know? But I always appreciate the charm of the more amateur ones. Like, we did the haunted house afterward, and it was in an abandoned movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And one of the rooms was completely like a cinema room, and that was my favorite room.
That was cool. Yeah. They definitely, leaning into the abandoned theater was the best part.
Yeah.
Because the other parts are, you know.
Yeah, it was just, you could tell that it was like spirit. You know, purchases, which no shade.
Spirit, the Halloween outlet store.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I always wonder, like, what is the profit turnaround on those places? I actually have a really interesting thing to discuss with you that is related
to profit turnaround.
In a way.
Okay.
Do you know the show Dark Tourist?
I know that I looked at the Netflix. When it came on Netflix, I think I watched a trailer for it.
Right.
Yeah.
So Dark Tourist.
And I was like, this might be problematic.
Oh my God. No. So that's why I bring it up. So Dark Tourist is a show where this guy does a bunch of morbid tourist attractions, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Like visiting.
And he's like a British comedian, I think.
I don't know who he is. Okay. I've never seen it, actually. Because I actually had similar feelings. I always feel like things like that are problematic.
Yeah.
Or not even problematic. I feel like it's just, I don't really understand it. Even as someone obsessed with the macabre, I obviously see the capitalism side mm-hmm. of selling unpleasant experiences to people, and it just weirds me out.
Yeah.
Haunted
I'm a little
houses.
Bit surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Here on this podcast.
I know. Yeah. We're kind of like the do-gooders, aren't we? Yeah, no, haunted houses I get because it's all kind of about escapism, but a lot of the stuff on Dark Tourist is stuff that's more like, you know, like the blackout haunted house in New York. Have you heard of that?
I mean, now it's one of those things you can just say it and I'm like, oh yeah, I think
okay.
I get it.
So the blackout haunted house in New York is a haunted house that happens in New York every year, I think, and it's an extreme haunted house. And what that means is that they can quote unquote kidnap you and waterboard you and things like that.
No way.
Yeah. And you sign like this waiver and stuff, and it's like a $75 experience.
Okay.
And I don't understand the people that do that, but I feel like that's consensual enough. Like, they never beat you. They do the waterboard thing for sure. And then I know one year they had a thing where you had to take out the tampon from one of the actors with your teeth. And holy obviously, moly. I'm sure that the tampon and stuff were fake.
You think it was like, I don't know. Why would that be fake?
Because they were there. I think it's an acting troupe that did it.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if it's fake, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, they're probably, it's, they probably like really.
Yeah.
Like, heavy,
yeah, yeah.
Heavy flow.
But that's
you.
What I mean. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Could
like,
be your $75 worth.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extreme.
They,
and it's
they waterboard
super,
you for real, though?
Yeah, they waterboard you for real.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you say? I mean, there must be something. Is there a safe word you could say?
There is a safe word. Okay. Yes. So there's a safe word, but it's very popular and whatnot. And so that I feel like that's where Dark Tourist is trying to get. And I mean, I never understood like sleeping over at like Ted Bundy's house and things like that. Like uh-huh. That thing is just like weird to me. But I mention all of this because this is something that I learned in October, actually. I was just looking at a bunch of stuff for us to go to in the area, yeah. Actually. And so I was looking at some of the things on Dark Tourist. And there is this... it's called a haunted house experience, but I have a lot of problems with it.
Okay.
It is this guy. He started in San Diego where it's anything goes horror house. And that means forcing people to eat stuff.
Ooh.
That means beating people.
Okay.
That like it is. I wish I could remember the name, but it is so controversial that it's considered the most extreme horror house.
Uh-huh. But are they like chain? Is it a chain?
No,
by
it's
now?
Not a chain. It's just this one guy.
Okay. Is he still in San Diego?
So there were so many complaints about the one in San Diego that San Diego banned him. And he moved to Nashville and Alabama and started the same house, yeah, out over there. And so it's 24
wow.
hours in a place, and it's a 200-page waiver that literally says anything goes. We can beat you if you're injured. You cannot sue us. You're agreeing to this. You're agreeing to that. I really need to Google the name.
Safe word or not safe word?
So supposedly there have been people that have been through it said that they've done the safe word and the actors willingly ignore it.
They're like,
the
nope.
Guy also purposely only recruits ex-veterans for
yikes.
Yeah,
that's
no.
A real
just,
weird twist. This sounds like a horror movie. A man
no,
becomes
it sounds
his own
like
horror movie.
A man that is with a very sick problem,
yeah,
that purposely wants to torture people and was just trying to find the most legal way to get it, because I mean, as we established, Blackout is hugely popular.
Uh-huh.
And while I have issues with Blackout, I also don't think that people that do it are complete sociopaths. I think that they want to be more scared than a normal haunted house would give them, and this is a safe environment to do so. Like, uh-huh, there have never really been controversies with Blackout because anyone that uses safe word is escorted out. It's very, uh-huh, professional.
Okay.
But this guy, no, he has made a name for,
wow,
being known as,
I feel
like
we're talking about a horror movie villain right
I,
now.
I feel like we're talking about a genuine like serial killer, like no joke.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be more comfortable if we just killed people, honestly.
Right? No.
Just get it over with.
Supposedly,
just do it.
On the website, like, there's a 2-year waiting list and things like that. But I actually,
whoa,
feel like it
you
doesn't
think it's a little
exist.
Scammy? You think it's a little like,
I
yeah.
think it's a total scam because yeah. The waiver's online and it's ridiculous. Just like, the content in it is ridiculous. The uh-huh. fact that he says that if you die, your family can't sue us in it.
Uh-huh.
It made me want to dig onto him.
I mean, that's in like a waiver if you like join a gym, you know.
And when I went on Reddit, apparently this guy is known for doing like, and I don't really know how this works. So technology people, you have to tell us.
Yeah.
He does this thing where he runs betting games for sports in Las Vegas high roller casinos. So he does it through like proxy networks, even though he's not based in Vegas.
Okay.
And that in and of itself is illegal, but that's how he supposedly makes his money because people have found his streams and stuff before.
Huh.
So yeah, wow. I wanted to.
Are we targets now?
I think the fact that I forgot his name.
We gotta go, huh? We gotta go to this place.
Oh my god, shut up. No,
we'll be there in 2 years and one day.
Oh my god, the worst thing.
I could barely take the one we went to was pretty goofy.
Yeah.
Not really that actually scary, but you know, I was still scared initially because it is not that hard to scare me. If you say we're about to scare the S out of you, then I'm going to start to get scared. But it wasn't that scary. But yeah, so I would scream the safe word upon seeing the first wild person in a mask who looked like they were going to try to make me eat dog food. That just would not be my cup of tea. I appreciate the more silly, ha ha ha, oh, you got scared.
I think it's cute, yeah.
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 The creativity of the rooms.
Next year,
decorations.
Next year, I want us to do the one in the woods. I feel like the one in the woods are amateur too, but I feel like since it's dark in the woods and it's cold, like at least it lends
to
the atmosphere.
Be scary. Yeah.
Whereas, as you said, since it was such an artificial setting, it was like certain rooms were effective and then certain rooms were just obviously so not effective.
Yeah. And if you have like 60 rooms and they're all, I mean, yeah, they're just, it's like, yeah, my brain doesn't even partly believe, oh, I'm in a little dollhouse or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah, they said that there was a theme, room. But there
another
really wasn't
person's
a
gonna
thing.
Jump out. It was just a lot of jump outs.
Yeah, your Marianella was scared and that was cute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been so long since our last episode.
Yeah.
That I am now married with 2 children.
I know.
Or I will be soon.
I know. Congratulations.
That's new for season 2, y'all.
Let's hold for applause. Okay.
Thank
beautiful.
You. Yes, and my future son is really into, he asks a lot of questions about Pennywise.
Oh.
So I think he's
going to
be into the horror.
It's so funny. I feel like Pennywise speaks to children. This is the second instance I've heard of a child obsessed with Pennywise.
Oh, he's like,
and I'm
like,
I thought it was like the opposite.
I tell him, I'm like, listen, you know how he dies in the end, right? He's like super easy to kill. And but still it's like, he's pretty scary.
I'm that's so funny. I think we saw It too, actually, after
we did.
Yeah.
We did see It too.
We've seen quite a few things.
Yeah.
We saw It too. What do you think is your favorite horror movie of the year?
Well, the one I most recently saw, which might be it, was The Lighthouse. I did see The Lighthouse.
You saw The
I
Lighthouse.
Did. Have you
what
seen
did
it?
You what did you
Okay. Love the director. So I was primed to like this, and you know I didn't watch any trailers.
Yeah.
I wanted to go in totally blind.
Yeah.
Did
you understand them?
Yes, I did. For the most part.
I hear that like understanding them is an issue.
Not as much as in the director's first movie. The Witch, yeah. I've seen that movie a lot, and there's still segments of the movie where I'm just like, I guess I understood what they said. But okay. No, it wasn't. I loved that hitting those notes, those like historical linguistic speech. There's got to be better words for
that.
Are
you fond of my lobster?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And just seeing William Dafoe go full sea shanty, like cartoon sailor, was really cool. If you're into the acting of William Dafoe, you got to treat yourself to
this.
Did
you ever see Antichrist?
No.
Interesting.
Is that William Dafoe?
Yeah, it's William Dafoe. It's Lars von Trier.
Oh, really? I might like that.
Okay. Yeah. What about Pats? How was Pats?
Pattinson, I always feel like he is the weaker of the actors that I'm watching, like in whatever he's in. But I don't know if that's legitimate or that is like some internal bias that I have because of his Twilight start.
That's so mean.
And it's he's, you know, a leading man, quote unquote, but I don't know if he's actually a good actor. Can you comment? Can you? Is he?
Oh my God. That's like the funniest thing you've said.
Is he a good actor?
I like Robert Pattinson. I do. It's very complicated because he had Twilight and but I actually knew him first because of Harry Potter. He was Cedric Diggory, who was you know, the dreamboat of Harry Potter. Mm. So I feel like I'll always have a soft spot for Robert Pattinson.
Uh-huh.
He was engaged to one of my favorite artists, FKA Twigs, who just released an incredible album all about how Robert Pattinson broke her heart.
Whoa.
So I'm actually a bit anti-Robert.
Okay.
No. I genuinely, like, speaking from an objective standpoint, I actually do think he's one of this generation's greatest actors.
Greatest actors, really.
I really do, but he also, like, the reason why I like him is that he's nonsensical and apeshit. You know what I mean? Like, none of his decisions fully make sense to me.
As an actor or in the movies he chooses or?
Both.
Okay.
Delia just watched The King, which is on Netflix.
Okay, and Delia is your good best friend.
Best friend. And
The
King, and it's Timothy Chalamet and
Chalamet.
Yeah, that dude, that fucker.
Oh, hey, come on now. He is the hot.
I don't like him.
You don't?
No. Fuck. This is an anti-Timothy Chalamet podcast.
Okay, right? But this side of the podcast is okay with the Chalamet.
No, fuck that guy, man. Really? Fuck that guy. He does not deserve. I don't give a. Seeing his hair makes me angry.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a lesbian thing.
That's a haters thing. Okay, making the haters mad. That's when you know your hair is good.
Oh my God, fuck off. So. But he's in that. Robert Pattinson is in that. Uh-huh. And The King was panned. It was like a horrible movie. But Robert Pattinson in that is supposed to be French. And he just does the most straightforward Sylvester the Cat impression. Like, oh, oui, yes. Oh, how do you like my kingdom? Uh-huh. Like complete, like, silliness.
Oh, yeah.
To the point that it's like, it's obviously not good. But I'm like...
That's
if
right.
It's that bad, that is genius. Like, he has no shame.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, so he is bad.
I kind of have issues with this
too.
Story.
Did Delia like it? No. Okay.
It's a bad movie, but she thought it the was worth watching it
hot.
For Robert's silliness.
Yeah.
But I really do hate Timothy. I wouldn't even
Timothy
watch it.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah. But this is a story that's been going on with The Lighthouse as well. The part with the jizz.
You're going to have to specify.
There was more than one.
This is the Robert Pattinson film.
Yeah, the Robert Pattinson cum part.
Coming off of High Life. There,
oh my God.
I've seen more than Robert Jizzinson's jizz than I've seen.
So much of his, you know, I think you are a fan.
I don't think I've seen his, I don't think I saw his jizz in this movie though.
Well, he actually masturbated for it.
Yeah, I remember, I saw you tweet that, but they didn't really, like, if he did, it was in his pants, you know?
I believe it though. But that's what I mean, like, the dude's clearly crazy,
so this may be wrong. And I'm prepared to be called out for this.
Okay.
If you are an actor and it says, you know, you're supposed to be masturbating here and you want to make that check and you want to make it real, don't you just masturbate?
I don't really have.
Because what if the director's like, I know that, fake.
I know that my problem with it was the fact that he was saying that, oh, well, you know. People always complain about method actors, you know, and they say that method actors are usually assholes, you know, no one is ever kind. And I just thought that it was a bit hypocritical of him because he has gone method for his roles before. But in general, I think just as long as it's a consensual kind of, like, everyone on set is prepared,
on set's like,
then
okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the place where I think it's fucked up is... Parks and Recreation. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Chris Pratt. And I have never really seen I've seen about half of it. but
the show, yeah, like half of the episodes.
Yeah. But I don't really have a recollection. Yeah. Like I know who Bobby Newport is and things like that, but I don't understand how the storylines worked. Anyway, apparently Chris Pratt, during one of the episodes, Amy Poehler opens the door and Chris Pratt's naked.
He's naked. Yeah.
But he wanted it to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So he let no one on set know that he was going to be stark naked. And it was a genuine reaction from everyone. Apparently all of the actors were okay with it, but a lot of people in the crew were not okay with it and complained. And Chris Pratt told this story in an interview being like, yeah, can you believe those spoil sports on the crew? Like, they didn't get the joke. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You exposing yourself with no, like, warning to anyone else on set? That's fucking assault, you dumbass.
Yeah.
So obviously what Robert Pattinson and Robert Eggers think, it's annoying to me, but I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah, okay.
But the Chris Pratt perspective, that's totally fucked up.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah. And, he messed up there.
You know, it's really funny. It's been 20 minutes and we haven't even gotten into it.
I know. We're just chatting away.
We're just talking. At least it was all related to horror stuff. So,
yeah.
Yes. All right. But yeah, we're going to do the top 10 countdown.
Five each. Okay.
Five each. And these are going to be all of our favorite American horror films. And then, I think our next episode, we're going to...
Well, no, don't tell them about the next episode yet.
Okay.
Because then maybe they'll just stop listening right now.
Okay. You know? All right. Never mind. You have to listen to our list first, and then we'll tell you about our next episode.
Okay. How are we going to do them?
So we're going to do them. We're going to play a little bit of the clips. You like that little thing that I did last time.
Oh, so. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm excited to do it this time around, and then we'll get right into it.
All right. I'm ready.
You should have been a pair of ragged bones, scuttling across the floors of silent seas. And the afternoon, the evening, sleeps so peacefully.
Yes?
Who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
What number is this?
What number are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
Well, I think you have the wrong number.
Do I?
It happens. Take it easy.
All right, number five.
Number 10. 5, 10.
Oh, you're going to make me do it that way?
Okay, fine. You're number
five. My number five of Clinton's top five horror movies of all time from America. American horror movies. Top five. Number five is...
American Horror Stories?
No. That would be another list, then I could do it. I want you to try to guess, May. Okay. Are you prepared for this?
No, that's unfair because it could be any American film. Is it Teen Wolf?
Not yet. Too scary. By this quote, and I'm going to say it without the character's voice, just straight up, so it's hard, you know, a little bit harder. For pulling this trick, I'll chop off your dick.
What the fuck?
Where's that
from?
What
movie is that?
What movie is that?
I'll chop. Is that Pennywise?
No. I'll do it again in a character voice. For pulling this trick, I'll chop off your dick.
Was that your Freddy Krueger?
No, I've got another one for you. There was an old man of Madras whose balls were made of fine brass. So in stormy weather, they both clanged together and sparks flew out of his ass.
What movie?
This movie is one of the greatest movies of 1995. In fact, the highest selling direct-to-video film of 1995.
Direct-to-video.
Video was a big deal back then. Children, gather around. The movie is Leprechaun 3.
You want to know a deep secret?
What's that?
I've never seen any Leprechaun films.
Wow.
Yeah.
Trash. No wonder Jennifer your opinions Aniston. Are such garbage.
Jennifer Aniston's in one of them, right?
Yep, she's in the first one. Yeah. It really launched her career.
Did it really? I don't think so. I wish people could have seen your face. You were like, yes.
Yeah, it did. It made her who she is today. I actually think it's a little bit of a betrayal that she doesn't come back to the franchise. But anyways, Leprechaun 3, most people on IMDb I found agree with me. Most people say, this is the best Leprechaun movie of the entire series. And then they are like, we give it 5 out of 10. So that's probably accurate. I haven't seen this movie in 15 years.
But what if you rewatched it and hated it?
That's highly possible. But it's also Warwick Davis's.
Really?
Is Warwick Davis Leprechaun?
Fuck. Leprechauns aren't real.
Well, in the movie.
Oh, I never seen it. I
meant to check that.
You.
I think he is. I'll check during the break
Warwick
and then
Davis
I'll come back and I'll tell you that if I was wrong about that, geez. It was his favorite. The man who played the Leprechaun, it's his favorite film of the Leprechaun series.
Really?
It's fun. It hits the mark where it's fun. It's silly. It's got the horror stuff in it, but it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Okay.
Okay. Like Leprechaun 1, a little too serious.
Yeah?
Leprechaun 2 goes to New York. It's okay. It's still a little serious. Leprechaun 3, he goes to Vegas. It's a little bit like,
oh, it's in Vegas.
We're in Vegas.
I went to Vegas. That's
you
something.
Did?
Yeah. For Halloween.
Did a stripper come out of the TV and murder you? And then it turned out it wasn't a stripper. It was like a leprechaun robot or something?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
Apparently some dudes chased us through the casino.
Wow.
But I do this thing where I don't really pay attention to people in public.
Uh-huh.
It really annoys Delia, but I think it is a survival mechanism. So I had no
idea.
But in
this case, would you have survived if were it not for Delia? It sounds like Delia was the one aware.
I was actually running. I was walking faster than her. So maybe she shouldn't have been distracted by her ass.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Fascinating.
So yeah. Well, Leprechaun 3. Yeah, this is, I think, the highlight of the series. Leprechaun 4, The Ghost of Space. I still found that to be fun. Leprechaun 5, then they start doing this. They go to the hood. And
I thought that there was one in the hood.
Yeah,
who's in
there's
it?
There's at least two in the hood, if not three.
I think, yes. So
the leprechaun person changes. I just found, then it gets to be completely boring. Probably problematic, although I don't know who's behind the movie, but
I wonder.
I always have had this dream that if I could write one movie.
Shut up.
If there's one classic movie I have in me.
Oh, come on.
I could write a killer Leprechaun script.
Oh my God. This is not a good idea.
Yeah. It was a good idea. Until, it would be hard to make one now, I think. Well, no, it wouldn't. You just have fun. Yeah.
This is, oh, I gotta be honest, I didn't really expect that.
Number five, I gotta put it up there. I watched it so many times growing up, you know.
Really?
You gotta pay your dues. This is in my favorites. I would sit down and watch this again in a heartbeat.
We should watch
we'll just watch one.
Just this one.
One, and we could play the other one while we're doing stuff.
We do have a habit of doing that, don't we?
That's a good way to
go. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Surprising.
Number five.
Okay. Is it my turn?
That means it's your turn.
I could go 1995, but
like the best, the most in the theaters movie, huh? Because you're so good with this.
Actually, I'm pretty
movies.
Sure that the one that I chose for 1995 was the highest grossing horror film. But I'm going to do it by preference.
Okay.
So my number five is 1975. And it's a bit of a musical. I still think
it is. I have no idea. I've never heard of it.
I mean, horror's in the title.
1975 is what it's called.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh my gosh.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I know what we're talking about now.
Yes. And it's funny. If someone were to ask me this, I'm not sure if I immediately would think of it. But since we had a little bit of time to think about it, and I'm also reaching the end of the semester, we just finished our terror parody lecture.
Parody?
In my global horror film class. And so I was watching Rocky Horror. And the thing about Rocky Horror is that it was so instrumental to me growing up. It's crazy because I haven't seen Rocky Horror since I was probably 21, 23. So it's been at least 5 years or more. But when I was a teenager, like 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, I would go at least once a month to the live Rocky Horror thing. And back in Orlando, it used to be at Universal Studios. With the recent buyout of Universal, they forced them to move, which makes me really sad because
the
live show to move and that makes me really sad because there was something really subversive about a bunch of queer people congregating at the Universal Studios. It's an AMC at the Universal Studios AMC every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To fucking wreck.
Every 2 weeks?
Yeah, it would happen every 2 weeks. For the whole year.
Whoa.
No, it was a lot. It was a different experience every single time. It's actually really funny. I don't think, and I swear to God, I don't think I've ever seen Rocky Horror straight through in a normal setting.
Yeah.
Ever. I watched the first 40 minutes with my kid. No, I'm sorry. The first 30 minutes with my kids over this last weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, that dialogue is actually kind of funny. Like,
yeah.
Because I always watch it with the interactive version. I have the interactive lines still memorized. Uh-huh. Like, that's how formative.
The audience participation.
Yeah. I still have all of it memorized. And like I said, I haven't been there in a good 5 years. I'm dying for us to do one.
Yes.
Over here. And yeah, I mean,
do they do live ones over here?
Supposedly.
Okay.
There's one literally right across the street from me.
Okay.
Where the Taco Bamba place is.
Don't get too specific. Because then Nashville guy is going to come.
Okay. No, but listen to me. I don't want to go to the one near me.
Your house into the next.
And I've told my students this straight up. I'm like, listen, guys, I don't go to the theater closest to me because I'm horrified I'm going to see you guys there. I don't want to see my students when I'm trying to go, you know, especially Rocky Horror. No. Yeah. But the one in D.C. does it.
Yeah.
And it's at the Landmark E Street. And I personally can't imagine seeing a bunch of DC queers show up and wreck one of those theater thingies. So I'm really intrigued to see what it's like over here.
When you say wreck, do you mean just like party or do you mean like...
So it's usually a big fucking mess after... Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you buy prop
DC
bags.
Is too, DC
and
too.
You... There's a toilet paper roll in it. There's rice in it.
Uh-huh.
There's silly string in it. it.
Right, the whole wedding stuff.
Yeah, the wedding stuff. Okay, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, DC's a little like, we play by the rules. So,
I really wonder if they sell prop back. I'm sure that the one over here, since it's more run down, it's whatever goes. Uh-huh. But yeah, I want to go see the DC one first. And if I think it's too straight-laced, I'm gonna have to sacrifice and see the one out here. Because I to me, it's an experience, right? Because Rocky Horror, as much as I love it, it is problematic. Like, I screen it in every single one of my classes, and I screened it for my class last semester, and a lot of the kids didn't like it. They were like, yeah, this is harmful towards trans representation and blah blah blah, and they're right, it is. It wasn't made in a perfect vacuum. But I really cannot. His name is Jim Sharman. He wrote all of the music, and he played Riff Raff, one of the main characters. But yeah, it tanked, so he didn't really have a
career. In the theaters, it tanked.
Huh?
This movie tanked when it came out?
Horribly. No. Like, really badly. No. Yeah. Oh,
did
yeah.
Did it get a wide release? Was it like...
Yeah, it got a wide release. With? Yeah. I mean, it really is, even though it is problematic... You're rooting for gay people all throughout. You know, you're rooting for a transsexual Frankenstein vampire. You're rooting for, you know, there's a lot of same sex scene, and it's not vague or oblique. It's very, you know, it's very straightforward in what it depicts.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes I feel like the newer generations, I absolutely agree that we should critique old stuff.
Right.
But I feel like people should also understand that back when I was a 15-year-old queer brown girl in Orlando, there weren't that many avenues of expression.
Yeah.
And Rocky Horror was the main one. Ooh, every single city has a different way of doing it.
Uh-huh.
But in Orlando was this acting troupe called Rich Weirdos. They're still around. They still do it. They stopped doing it as often, and now they're in a different city in Central Florida, which kind of sucks. But it's still one of my bucket list things to go to one back home again one day and to go to one around here. Hopefully before the end of the year, honestly. I really do want to go into it. And yeah, I really believe in Rocky Horror. Mm-hmm. It is not so much a straightforward horror, but I do love the fact that it tackles horror musicals so effectively. And it's just so sharp. Like, the lyrics are so sharp. Like, the opening science fiction double feature has like 70 different horror and science fiction references. And it's such a great song still at the same time. So I think, you know, it's one of the smartest things that have ever been made and I go hard for it. So Rocky Horror Picture Show is my number 5.
I gotta give that another watch. It's been a long time.
We need to do it live.
Oh, live.
It's just that I asked Clinton to go with me during October, and Clinton's response was, I don't know if I'm gonna stay out that late.
Listen, I'm a 35-year-old man with 2 children. But at the time I wasn't. At the time I was 35 years old and I had 0 children.
Yeah.
nevertheless, it's hard to do it. I didn't think of the live performance thing. I thought I was like, I'm going to see a movie. I hadn't factored in the live performance. That was my
No, yeah, that should be your Christmas present to me. We need to go see Rocky Horror at Landmark.
Merry Christmas. My number 4 movie. This list is going to piss off, I think, any horror fan, because we're going off the rails with our picks, I think, based on some pre-podcast chatter as well. Although you don't know what mine are, and I don't know what yours are. My number 4 is on the last list we did.
Right.
I didn't include The Host because I said it was more of a monster movie than a horror.
And are you going to say Cloverfield?
No, that's not my jam. However, this time... I'm including a monster movie because I have no shame. I have no continuity. My number 4 is 1987. John McTiernan is a director, written by Jim and John Thomas. Must be a brother duo. It is the movie.
Oh God.
I don't even.
Oh, Predator?
Yes.
Oh.
I guess it's more like.
That's. That's actually kind of a surprising choice.
Right?
But it's actually not, I don't think it's that controversial.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I really, a part of me wants to go back and watch it because it's a good movie. Part of me wants to go
We're
back.
We're just listing movies that we haven't seen
that I want to see
in years. Hoping that they still maintain fresh in our memory.
This one doesn't get included on a lot of lists of horror movies. So it had me doubting myself.
I think it's because it's Bill Murray's an action film. But yeah. I also feel like if people think Alien's a horror movie, which pretty much everyone thinks Alien's a horror movie, then why not Predator?
Right. And it's really like survival horror.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I love the characters. I love the setting. I love about this monster movie that I love a monster where you don't know the rules. So you kind of learn the rules. Oh, he can be like invisible. Oh, but he has like
alien?
Green blood. Oh, yeah. He's like an alien species thing that comes down and hunts for skulls or something.
Yeah,
blah,
I don't
blah.
I don't know if I've ever seen Predator. What?
Yeah. Oh, you got to see Predator. Yeah. I think you do. It's
who's the lead in it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought so.
It's where get down to the chopper or something along
oh,
those
I
lines.
Oh, I thought that was Terminator.
Terminator.
I've seen Terminator. Terminator,
you know,
is cool.
Got a couple lines, but this one is where something about the chopper.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's got some other dudes. Jesse Ventura. It's got some other dudes.
Really?
Yes. It has
this is like the cast of the Expendables.
It is the better Expendables. I remember the first time I watched this, I think I saw the TV edit version. So like all the cuss words are cut out and all the violence is kind of tamped down. But I could still feel the drama and the suspense, and you know you're really in the jungle.
You know, it's my favorite thing about Terminator.
What's that?
The fact that like it'll be like this super intense action sequence, and then like this synth wave, like 80s Miami Vice song will play. Does that happen in Predator?
I don't think so.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. That's the best
part
of Predator.
It doesn't suck. It's great. It's still great. No synth wave.
Okay.
But number four.
Number four.
Woo!
That's surprising. This is horrible. Okay. All right. My number four. I think I'm going to stick with the same year roughly. And it's funny because...
What's the year again?
You said 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to do this one. So for number four, this is my favorite Christmas film of all time. Gremlins.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to watch that. I would love to watch that.
You've never seen Gremlins?
I have, but I would love to watch it again.
I watch it every year. Okay. It genuinely...
Pencil me in.
Nothing makes me happier than Gremlins during Christmas.
Yeah.
First off, Gremlins is actually like a kind of scary film. Like it doesn't hold... Like it starts off really unassuming. You're like, oh, yes, adorable kid. This is high school. It's Christmas time. And then it just gets so dark so quickly. And it doesn't really ever let up. Like, people just die.
Wow.
And these creatures don't give a fuck. They're just, like, killing people. And it's just, it's so pure.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And it's just, it's one of those movies that never fails to, like, bring a smile to my face. It kind of encapsulates everything that's really fun about the slasher genre, but changes, puts it on his head, you know, makes a little cute monsters. It has always been a dream of mine to have a stuffed Gizmo.
Mm.
Gizmo's like my favorite.
Dream big, they say.
I know, right? Gremlins. I go hard for Gremlins.
Can you take us through the franchise? Where does it go from there?
I think there's Gremlins 2. So
I thought there was, isn't there like five of them?
Honestly, maybe. I didn't see the sequels. I'm a bit picky with sequels.
Okay.
So yeah, and I'm pretty sure the sequels weren't as well received. I mean, of course, it was the fucking 80s. Like something made $10 million.
They're
like, let's give it a sequel.
Yeah.
So, but the original Gremlins is beautiful. It better never get remade, even though it's problematic as hell.
Oh my gosh, why not?
It is super racist in the beginning.
Oh no.
Yeah, because they steal the Mogwai from the Chinese family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's the Mogwai?
The Mogwai are the creatures.
Oh,
and they're like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So, and then the white people do it anyway.
Yeah.
But at the end, the Mogwais return to the Chinese family. So,
oh my gosh.
I mean, it was the 80s.
Yeah.
I still love it.
Some adult writer was like, I wonder what that Chinese family next door, like, what do they have? Like,
literally.
Yeah.
It's a Mogwai.
Yeah, they got a Mogwai.
Yeah, but no, it makes me super happy. I guess for this list, I was actually thinking of horror films that make me happy in a weird way, even though I think my top pick is Dark.
Makes you sad.
Yeah, it does.
Can you speak on Critters? Critters versus Gremlins. Do you know anything about that?
I don't.
Epic battle. I think Critters came after it. It was like a, yeah. You know what I mean?
It sounds like Critters... E.T. versus Mac and Me. Did you ever see Mac and Me?
I have seen Mac and Me.
I think Mac and Me is the better film.
Yes.
Yes. He becomes an American citizen at the end.
Does he?
Yes. I don't think I saw that part.
Didn't see that part.
Root for Mac and Me.
I blacked out when they did the McDonald's rap or whatever that they did in the McDonald's.
Yeah, I would die for Mac and Me, whereas I don't think actually seen E.T.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think
I didn't even know E.T. died until like someone told me a couple months ago. And I was like, wait, E.T. dies in E.T.?
I forget how it happens. Do you know? Do you remember how it happens?
I don't remember how it happens.
Oh, you didn't even see it.
But I just think it's fucked up that E.T. dies.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Spielberg's like.
It makes me not want to watch it.
Yes. Weren't expecting that, huh? And everyone was like, boo.
Yeah, no. Actually, really fun fact. The thing... E.T. and Blade Runner were all released on the same day.
No way.
And E.T.
The same day.
Yeah, yeah. On the same day. I think it was 1981. The same day in 1981. And it is a fact that the fact that E.T. came out on the same day, it was such a hit that a lot of people think that that is why people didn't like The Thing and Blade Runner were box office failures. A lot of people attribute that to E.T.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really like, could you imagine going out to the movies and being like, all right, bitches, which alien do we want? Do we want The Thing? Do we want Blade Runner aliens? Or do we want E.T. aliens?
Yeah, you got to see E.T. at that point.
What would you watch?
At that point, you got to go with the cultural smash. I mean, there's probably E.T.'s in McDonald's, every McDonald's.
Everyone's, so you think you would have gone to see E.T.?
Everyone's putting their fingers together. I'm not going to be the one guy who doesn't know what we're talking about.
Friday, opening night, 1981. You're taking Marianela. Honestly, you're probably taking me. We would probably do this.
Okay.
What movie are we watching?
Well, if it was the two of us, we'd probably watch The Thing.
I actually think it would be The Thing.
Yeah.
Even though I think Blade Runner is my favorite of the three, I think we would choose The Thing.
Yeah.
Or
Blade Runner.
I don't know. What do you think? We have to choose. It has to be the thing. Yeah, I think The Thing.
Yeah.
But then we'll be upset because the dog dies.
In The Thing?
Yeah.
Well, E.T. dies too. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think Blade Runner is
the only thing where people don't die.
She dies. In Blade Runner.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
1981 was a depressing year.
Everybody dies.
Okay. So, yeah, that was my number four.
Number four. I like that one. I want to see that one, and maybe that'll make my list someday. My number three, I had to think long and hard about this one. I have so much love for this movie, but the sequel was so bad, in my opinion, that it actually made me hate the first one. You know, it's just like I felt it was just wronged. I feel a lot of emotions that I should work through at some point. This movie was directed by Denny Boyle. And written by...
I agree.
Alex Garland was the writer.
Wait.
Yeah?
This isn't an American film.
Oh, crap. Wait.
You just...
Damn it!
...fucked up so badly. I'm dying.
Oh, no.
The remake, the sequel was American,
actually. All right, well, let's do that one.
Do you like that I knew what movie you were talking about just on that information?
God,
so he's talking about
28 Days Later.
Yeah, so 28 weeks later, I'll accept it because what the fuck are we going to do at this
point? It's not acceptable. But yeah, my list is suspect. We're going to cross. That one's 28 Days Later, but also crossed out. This is my favorite zombie movie. By a mile.
You know, I would agree.
By a kilometer, probably.
I think... God damn, I cannot believe. And you were making this, and it's such a British film. And in your head, you were still like, yep, my favorite American film.
Yep, that's not the only mistake I made on my list.
So. Oh my God, there's more than one. Oh my God.
This one I didn't know about, though.
Oh my God.
I forgot.
Even though Cillian Murphy has the thickest fucking accent in it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. I saw it in America. What do you want me to do?
I actually had to do that. I was telling Clinton when he first came here, I was like, Clinton, I'm having a really difficult time because I'm thinking of all my favorite horror movies and they're actually, you know, like not made in America. And apparently you didn't listen to your own
and
rule.
I said, yeah, me too. And then I realized I didn't realize
No,
I did
but
this.
Actually, it's funny that I knew what movie it was even before you kind of said the Danny Boyle thing, because that's the exact same thing that happened to me. I think 28 Days Later is probably the best zombie film, but 28 Weeks Later is so bad that it makes me look at 28 Days Later differently.
Same.
But I can't argue with it. It is one of the best movies.
Although
ever.
In the sequel, I think they had Danny Boyle direct the first like sequences, so the beginning of the sequel starts out really strong and then absolutely just
Jeremy
Renner
is in
off.
The sequel.
He can die by zombies in real life if he did that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's not his fault, but
he's an abuser. We don't
know. Oh, he is. Okay, yeah, then I take that. Yeah. So one fun fact.
Yeah.
This movie was shot almost entirely in sequence.
That's cool.
Which is how I imagine all movies are filmed.
Yeah, no.
But I like that. As a viewer,
no, I like that too. Like, especially right, because that's a really strong emotional journey.
Journey, yes.
Yeah, no, 28 Days Later is crazy. I love it.
And it's also the shots are so cool that
no,
there are great stories.
Made.
You could make you could read and learn about how they made it is fascinating too.
I'm 99% positive that's the only Danny Boyle film I like
at all.
Do you like Trainspotting?
I never. Oh, I did see Trainspotting.
I didn't like it. Yeah, I hated Trainspotting. I didn't like Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah. I just saw Yesterday this year. I didn't like it either.
Didn't like that.
I think it's only 28 Days Later. I think it's the
There's
only
another
good
one.
Film
We're missing
done.
Another one.
All right.
Yeah, but that's about it. He directed the Olympic opening ceremony. Did you like that?
I like the Spice Girls.
Like 2016. Maybe he did that. Maybe he did the Spice Girls. yeah, that's all I got. This is my favorite zombie movie. I think the way he has zombies move, and
yeah.
I think that was copied a lot afterwards. I don't know if he originated it, but he definitely, the fast zombie, the zombie.
You think this movie is better than Train to Busan?
Are we gonna fight now?
No, actually,
because
I don't really.
I do.
Well, you thought Train to Busan was too schmaltzy, right?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas 28 Days Later really just maintains Ooh. Its grit. Yeah.
And it ruined all of their zombie movies, because anytime anyone tries to do the but humans are the real monsters, I hate it, because I'm like, this has been done better.
Yeah, and 28 Days Later. Yeah. I do think, yeah, it's an interesting one. It's not one that I rewatch often. It's not even one that I teach, even though it's funny. I made my kids, so they had to watch. This was an extra credit assignment. They had to watch a film for every day in October. And I just made them rank all of the films that they watched. And a lot of them did 28 Days Later. And that was like consistently in their top five.
All right.
And I think it just
I have the same. Yep. Me and the youth on the same page.
Yeah. I
35 years old. But 20-year-olds
have you
were
seen
all
One Cut from the Dead
thing.
Yet?
One Cut from the Dead?
You really need to. One
what
Cut
is
from
that?
The Dead. It's the Japanese zombie film.
Oh, when did you see it?
I saw it in October.
Okay, well, I need to see it too.
Yeah, it was amazing.
When did it come out?
It had the same kind of Shudder deal.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's on Shudder now.
Okay.
You need to just use my Shudder login. Mm. When we get out of here, let me give that to you.
I think this is a good reminder that we're doing a rehearsed bit right now. No, everyone should have their own Shudder subscription.
I love Shudder. A couple of my kids have signed up for Shudder after my after me making after them plug. Watch stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really, yeah, I want more people to watch One Cut from the Dead because it's probably...
One Cut from the Dead.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it's probably the most exciting zombie film I've seen since 28 Days Later, but it's done in a completely different way. Mm. And I don't want to spoil it. Just go watch it.
All right,
go watch
all 28
Days Later if you haven't.
Woo! That was my number
Fake
three.
Number three.
Fake number three.
All right. So my number three. Okay. I'm going to go for... So I don't think you've ever seen this, which is a travesty. We need to see it before the end of the year. But my number three is Trick or Treat.
I have not seen this.
Yeah.
Is this the one that's the like the part of the Hulu stuff?
No.
No.
No. Though, as always, we want to give a shout out to Into the Dark on Hulu. They just premiered a new season. They had
a
really
show?
Successful...
Into the Dark? Oh, right. Into the Dark
is the thing I was thinking of.
They had a really successful first season. It is one of the most creative... I feel weird calling it a show because every single quote-unquote episode
is like
2 hours long. Yeah, it's a movie. But, I mean, I guess there's no other way to... describe it. It's a show.
Yeah. No other way.
With some of the best more modern horror films, and they do a lot of female directors on there. So
good stuff.
Big ups to them. Trick or Treat is probably the most recent film, and it's not even that recent. It's 2007 that I feel like is a Halloween classic. It is just so incredible. So it's directed by Michael Dougherty, who's gone on to do things like Krampus and Godzilla, the most recent Godzilla.
They gave him the keys to Godzilla, huh?
Yeah, but but Trick or Treat is, it's an anthology film, but the reason why it works, though, is that it's all within the same universe.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it all takes place on Halloween, and there are different storylines, but at the end of the movie, they all coalesce together, and there is kind of this little mascot, and the mascot
creepy.
Is...
creepy. I'm looking at him right now.
He is the cutest motherfucker ever. I love him. And
it's like a sack, like a one ball sacked as a head.
Yes. And
his name
I have,
is Sam. Just
yeah,
straight
his
up.
Name is Sam. His name is Sam. He sucks on a jack-o'-lantern lollipop.
Aww.
My greatest claim to fame is in 2016, I think it was, or 2015, me and Delia went to Spooky Empire in Orlando, and we were dressed up as Eleven and an Eggo waffle. Mm-hmm. I made the Eggo waffle myself. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of a hit. People really liked our costumes. And someone in full Sam costume walked up to us and we both freaked out.
Wow.
Because Trick or Treat was successful, but it is kind of more of a cult kind of thing because it was an independent horror film.
Was it?
Yeah, but it still has quite a few, like it has Anna Paquin in it.
Oh, I like Anna Paquin.
True Blood. Yeah, and this was actually at the height of True Blood.
At the height
of True Blood. It was
2007. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Anna Paquin's in it, Dylan Baker, Brian Cox. So like a couple of like character actors are in it. But in general, just the writing is so strong and it is gory, but it's not gratuitous.
Yeah.
It has one of the best monstrous feminist scenes of all time. I don't want to spoil it because I think it is one of the best reveals ever.
Interesting.
And I, to this day, I still think that the effects are incredible. The story is incredible. It pulls off the anthology film in a way that so many films haven't. And yeah, I go, it's always a tradition every year for us to watch Trick or Treat together, me and Delia. I actually wasn't able to do it this year with her. Mm. But I think definitely before the end of the year, you and I, and maybe
Trick
even Delia together.
Trick or Treat. I would love to because this sounds right up my alley.
No, it's perfect. It's funny. It's scary.
Here's one thing. Yeah. What was the last thing you said?
No, no, funny, no, it's funny, funny, it's great, scary, and it's campy.
Campy, love, oh, love campy.
Yeah.
For those who are trying to look this up, trick-or-treat, not or.
Trick-or-treat.
Trick-or.
It's trick-or, I say it really quick. Trick-or-treat.
It's apostrophe-or-r.
Yeah, trick-or-treat. It's not trick-or-treat, it's trick-or-treat.
Do you think the name holds it back? Because it is a little generic.
No.
Okay.
No. Because I actually, it's funny, as time has passed, I ask horror people what they think about it, and it's pretty much ubiquitously adored.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I can't wait to see this.
No, yeah. It's incredible. If you haven't seen it, you just go out. I think more than any film on my list, I think this is the one that I want people to see the most.
Ooh.
It's really good.
Very yeah. cool. Does Sam speak? Does he have, or does he make any
Sam
noise?
Sam never speaks.
Can you do a and noise the in the Sam microphone? The Sam?
No. And the Sam that we met never spoke to us.
Ooh,
yeah. I think it was a girl because it was very small.
Monstrous.
They were very soft. Yeah, they were very small. Mm-hmm. I think Sam in the movie is supposed to be a boy, though.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just, I need to show you the picture when we get off. It was just the cutest picture I've ever taken in my life. I never thought that I would ever meet anyone in Sam cosplay. And it just, it made my day. It won't ever get better than that.
Never. I can, yeah, definitely not.
Alrighty. So
that's
you
it.
Know, you're
that's
number two.
That's as good as it gets. Number two, my number two, was a movie that I had zero expectations of. I found this movie on Netflix.
Oh, God.
And the cover was Santa fighting Krampus. And I thought, all right, I'll give this one, you know, like 5 minutes.
Are you
about
to say
minutes.
Rare Exports?
No.
Okay.
This movie, I don't think you've seen before, is called A Christmas Horror Story.
Oh.
And this is my...
Really?
Yes. Have you seen it?
It is so funny that we both had Christmas horrors on our list without consulting each
Not
other.
Not only a Christmas horror, but an anthology.
It's an anthology too.
And I also think this is one of the best. This is the best horror anthology I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes. It brings everything. It kind of goes from story to story, but it doesn't feel to me. It didn't feel unconnected. I think all the stories are really well done and interesting. William Shatner is in this. So it's got a bunch of people I've never seen before in my life and William Shatner.
So this is the review from Bloody Disgusting.
Uh-oh.
While A Christmas Horror Story doesn't have the qualities of a big theatrical release like Trick or Treat, it's classy enough to bring joy to those who, however they end up seeing it. So
yeah.
That's funny.
I can't.
See, that's how iconic Trick or Treat is.
Yeah. Wow. Well, huh. Yeah, this is its own thing. Okay.
No, that's exciting.
Yeah. It's, I really recommend it. I think it's on Netflix still. A Christmas Horror Story. I've watched it a few times. I watched it with my father last year around
really?
Christmas.
That's
I hope
cute.
To watch it again this Christmas.
We should.
Yeah. And my favorite part about it is something I can't talk about because it would ruin the experience. So you have to see it. And then the unfortunate news.
What?
Is that I made this list and I checked it twice. And on the second time I realized I made a mistake.
What's the mistake?
This movie was made in Canada.
Wait, let's look at this a little bit closer.
It is.
No, it was directed by Americans, so that counts.
Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Are you sure it's American?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just clicked on the thing.
But maybe it was written by a Canadian.
It was made by Americans. Yeah.
But, so you can make it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Thank God I didn't
take
it.
Whereas 28 days later, there's no Americans in at all.
Okay. Yeah.
28 weeks later is
there's probably a bunch of some of these people were probably Canadian. Probably all the actors were Canadian because I didn't recognize anyone, but they were all good.
I think William Shatner is Canadian, right?
Is he?
I'm almost positive.
That would make sense. Yeah, because why not?
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So
okay, this
sense.
Is a Canadian movie. Sorry, everybody.
No, I mean, as we've established, Canadian... Actually, a lot of... Again, it was either, like, they were British or Canadian.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, that's a good. I'm excited to watch that one. Yeah. I'd seen it before, but I thought it would be pretty bad.
You have seen it before?
No. Like passing on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it, because, okay, I'll say this. I love Trick or Treat.
Uh-huh.
I have not liked anything Michael Dougherty has done since, and he did Krampus.
Yeah.
I literally fell asleep during
me
Krampus.
Me too. Literally,
yeah,
also
we both
fell asleep.
Bonded over that.
And not even at the same time. Different
yeah,
times.
Different times.
Yeah.
So, for sure. I think that's one I want to look at. With
yeah.
We should watch Trick or Treat and
Christmas
Horror
Story
together.
Yeah. Both have generic ass names too.
You know what's kind I know, right?
Yeah.
You know what's kind of funny that we should probably mention?
What's that?
Because it supports a really good cause.
Let's
there's
do it.
Going to be a Die Hard Bingo November 30th at Black Cat.
Is there any way this podcast goes out before November 30th?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes.
November 30th.
There you go.
You're Die Hard Bingo.
You just rode my ass on it.
Yeah, that's right. Now it has to happen.
Yeah. No, I think it definitely will.
We'll see you all there.
Yes. Yeah.
And what's a good cause? Because it goes to...
Yes, the District of Safe Housing.
Okay.
So, or the something like that.
They're
called Dash, and I know Safe Housing's in it.
Yeah.
But especially for this time of year, I thought that I clicked on it thinking I always send things to mock with Clinton because I'm an asshole. And I was ready to mock this thing. And then I was like, oh, no, this is a really good idea. Let's do it. And then it was funny. We both realized that we'd never seen Die Hard before.
I've seen Die Hard. Okay. You've never seen
you
Die Hard.
You said that you've never seen Die Hard.
I've seen Die Hard. I don't know if I paid attention to all of Die Hard. But but we should watch it because
it's clear that we both kind of like subversive Christmas movies, and I know mm-hmm. that's
yeah.
one. Gremlins
yeah.
a Christmas movie. Hustlers is a Christmas movie.
Ooh, I gotta see that. Still.
Yeah, you really need to see Hustlers, man. Cool. I like your number two.
Number two. What's your number two?
So my number two. Oh, this is difficult because I have to decide. Okay, I'm gonna go.
She's going on the fly. Are you switching on the fly?
It's more like I chose my rankings on the fly, so I have to decide which I like
Impulsive.
More.
Impulsive.
Yeah, but I'm sticking with it. So number two is by David Robert Mitchell, probably my favorite horror film since like 2000, and that is It Follows. It Follows, and this is the one that I said makes me sad. I think every single movie on my list makes me extremely happy, no matter how morbid it is. But It Follows depresses me for like 2 weeks after I watch it. But it's just so impeccably made that, you know, you can't get too mad about being depressed about it. It's...
I know nothing about It Follows, so I'm just going to listen to you.
It's crazy that you... I think you'd love it
a lot. I've heard you talk about it before.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about it.
Because the reason why I think it's so powerful is David Robert Mitchell had been writing it basically all of his life. And it's set in Detroit. And when you pitch this film to anyone, including myself, it sounds like the stupidest fucking movie ever made.
Okay. What's the pitch?
The pitch is a girl who has sex with a man gets haunted by people. So it's horrible. Yeah. And a lot of people, when they think of this film, they're like, oh, so it's like STDs.
Yeah.
Ugh,
I hate
and,
that.
And it sucks. Because
it's like, no,
this film
maybe.
Is no, this film is art. Like, you know, when you watch a film and it's just like poetic and how it presents itself, that's It Follows. Like Under the Skin is so graceful and moving, but it's dark and depressing. To me, Under the Skin and It Follows are kind of like sister films, where Under the Skin kind of investigates it using an alien. It Follows uses the quintessential American teenager to explore themes of feminism, themes of white panic, themes of gentrification. Like I said, David Robert Mitchell grew up in Detroit, and he set it in Detroit. And there is a really beautiful progression. Mm-hmm. There's a really beautiful progression throughout the film as they're trying to figure out what is this, because another thing about horror films is it a
horror whodunit?
No.
Oh, I love horror whodunit. But it sounds like there's some mystery.
Well, there's mystery, yeah, because that's what I was about to say. Everyone takes it really seriously, whereas mm-hmm. a lot of times in the films that you and I like, we kind of like the comedic aspects mm-hmm. of horror films, but this film, it isn't funny.
Yeah.
You know, it especially when you hear that premise, you kind of expect it to be funny, but it's not. It takes sexual politics very seriously. Ooh. It takes sexual trauma extremely seriously. Huh. I think this is one of the smartest films about sexual assault that has ever been made. And it's just masterful. Like, I can imagine scenes out of that film, and it's like paintings to me. And I really love the intentionality behind it. It's one of the rare horror films where every single scene is not wasted. Every single scene is not gratuitous. And it's funny because this is probably one of the films that has the most naked bodies in it that you'll ever see. But it's not treated as sexual. It's not treated as a gaze.
Yeah.
It's just treated, you know, as sobering as possible, just as horrific as possible. And I love it so much. I really need you to watch it as soon as you can,
because I
would really love to see, you know, a lot of talk has been going on lately about like relationship horrors, like Midsommar, yeah, and things like that. And I think none of the films that have come out in recent years come close to It Follows.
What was the release like for this movie? Was this pop up on the stream and stuff.
It was kind of like, so this was kind of pre-streaming in a way. It was 2011. So Netflix was kind of around, but it wasn't as ubiquitous in the way that we know it now. Mm-hmm. It kind of did the independent route. But I know that it did get a wide release, because I think my experience with It Follows is I read the synopsis and I thought, this is so fucking dumb. It's just a bunch of white people having sex and it's going to be stupid. Mm-hmm. But then
hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm at the theater watching this movie.
No, it got really great reviews. Yeah. So me and my best friend, we were like, let's just go see it. Let's see what it's about. And incredible. I own the soundtrack on vinyl. Like, ooh, I'm a huge... Yeah. This was almost my number one, but I'm saving my number one for something sacred. Mm. It's definitely my favorite horror film of the 21st century.
And you can confirm this was made in the USA?
David Robert Mitchell, unfortunately. So this was his first film.
Okay.
And I love this film so much that I was ready, like you were with Robert Eggers. I was like, give it to me. I'm ready for the next thing.
Yes.
His next film is one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
What is it?
It's called Under the Silver Lake, and it's with Andrew Garfield. And it was David Robert Mitchell's way to make a satire, quote unquote, about like grimy LA kids. But what ends up happening, and I think I've said this quote before, uh-huh. is that when you make, and I steal this from Jean-Luc Godard, who's a French filmmaker, uh-huh. one of the best filmmakers of all time. Jean-Luc Godard said that he would never make an anti-war film, because when you make a film that's anti-something, you're essentially making it about it. So he was always very anti-war. He would never make a war film. Uh-huh. David Robert Mitchell said that he was trying to make a feminist film by showing how men use women.
Right.
And it just ends up, it was Andrew Garfield fucking a bunch of beautiful women that
were treating him terribly. Terrible.
That he was treating terribly, and he is like really disgusting in it. Like, he doesn't shower and stuff. And I'm like, David, I love you. It Follows is still a classic, but this is horrific.
Yikes.
And I mean, it was delayed.
That's a swing and a miss.
It was delayed by 4 years.
Ooh.
It was tested horribly.
Andrew Garfield was like, please, 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 please.
Don't let this know. Yeah, he really was. So I have hope for his third feature, because the first feature was so strong.
Yeah.
And the reaction to Under the Silver Lake has been panned. Mm-hmm. And he's even talked about how that's made him feel as a filmmaker.
Okay.
So
do you think there's some reflection there, or some chance for
redemption? I hope so. But as much as evolution. I like this guy, you never really know.
You
like
never know.
Ari Aster and Robert Eggers, they always say dumb shit that I'm just like, only a privileged guy that like had one really great hit
and
would
then,
think of this.
And then how many people wouldn't get another chance? You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So,
and these are soft hits. I mean, these aren't like E.T.
Yeah, It Follows was it's pretty much critically lauded, and it has it's definitely a cult thing. Like Nicholas Winding Refn big ups it a lot, but I don't know, it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here. But It Follows is a classic.
I gotta see
I will
that.
Die for It Follows.
I'm gonna watch Trick or Treat and then I'll watch It Follows.
Okay. All right, you're number one.
Number ones in America, here in America. My number one horror movie from America,
okay,
is by the man that we've mentioned several times on this podcast.
Oh my God.
Robert Eggers. Is that his name? Robert Eggers?
Really?
The Witch.
Really?
I love this movie.
Oh my God.
I love this movie. And by your reaction, which is not unlike other reactions I've heard about this movie, I've tried to get multiple, back when I was single, and I wasn't a married man with
like
two kids.
3 weeks ago.
Right. It was very, very recently. I have been on different dates with two different people.
Oh my God.
Watch this movie. And because they were fans of horror movies or whatever.
You're a horrible date.
No one else likes this movie.
Yeah.
But I
not even
still
Delia likes
love
this
it.
Movie.
Really? Well.
And this seems like right up Delia's alley.
I'll tell you what I like about this movie. This is a period piece horror that is authentic to its period roots. And it takes place in, I believe it's like settler America.
Yeah. So it's not like even, it's like 200 years before the Revolutionary War. So I think like 1700s.
So it's like pluck, they're there. And there's all this, the language is really thick and hard to understand. There, I do like that there, it's like kind of a coming of age story with the girl, but it's, you don't know where it's gonna go. It could go a couple different ways. At one point, her brother is like looking at her weird.
Yeah.
I remember that. Not that that's like a good part of it, but I just, I filed that away because it misleads you a little bit or adds tension generally. And also speaks to the like a woman and her sexuality and how she's being viewed by society or whatever.
Monstrous feminine, right?
Monstrous
there.
Feminine. Yeah. And it's a horror whodunit. You don't know,
I guess,
who, what's going on, what's real, what's fake. And
what are your thoughts on Black Phillip?
Like, oh my God. I have seriously considered getting Black Phillip tattooed on my body.
You're a dumbass.
Because Black Phillip is my favorite horror icon.
God, that's bleak.
Period.
Black Phillip was the reveal. I mean, it's not an unpopular opinion, actually.
Yeah.
You,
There are other people with Black Phillip tattoos, a few.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What is your favorite scene in The Witch? I think there's only one compelling scene.
Oh, well.
I think the only compelling scene is the ending with okay, I actually have a question.
Yes.
And we're just going to talk about the ending because everyone should have seen The Witch.
Okay.
What, like, do you think it's the devil that is at the end with her?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The devil, like, and it's like a bunch of witch ladies and they're all like floating in the air and stuff.
But do you think, it's like the devil incarnate or do you think it's just like a guy?
What's the difference? Oh, I mean, like,
the difference
just a guy,
is I
like
feel like
guy?
One
is. Is there a guy at the end?
There's like this cloaked figure with the black gloves, remember?
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so I obviously this film was open to interpretation, but that's kind of what I don't like about it.
Is
in
it
a way.
Too literal? Like the ending is too much,
it's,
like
it's too literal. Yeah, yeah. And I had the same thing with Hereditary. Did you end up seeing Hereditary?
I did. Okay. After Midsommar,
yeah,
I
you
can't
don't need to.
Do it.
You don't need to. It's okay. We're an anti Ari Aster podcast. no, but like, okay, same thing with Hereditary. It was built like So I think Hereditary is a bit more compelling than The Witch because more happens in Hereditary.
Now we're going to fight.
But the thing about Hereditary is that in the last 5 minutes, it's revealed that everything is run by witches. And then there's like
Oh my God, I was going to see it.
And then there's like
I was going to see it. No, you were. Yeah,
there
no,
was
really
like
was.
This crazy witch scene. And I'm like, why wasn't this introduced earlier?
Okay, yeah.
And I felt that way with The Witch too. I'm like, I feel like I would have been drawn more into this if this had been introduced earlier. But as it stands, it's just kind of like a weird, campy ending to a very non-campy film.
Yeah, that's true. However, I think it's true to the period. And I like the tension of, okay, yeah, back then, yeah, they probably did think witches were real, but like they weren't, right? And then so the whole time...
Yeah, you're wondering, is this a movie whether witches are real or not? Right. That was like another thing that had problems with it. I was like, it's not like, okay, somewhat controversial opinion. People don't like The Village. I like The Village.
Uh-huh.
I thought is that
M. Night
Shyamalan, yeah. where they're all on the reserve and they're supposed to be monsters in the woods.
I remember when
but
it came
comes,
out. Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out that this... It was modern day, and this was like a commune that her parents
had set up.
I
was
going to
see that, May.
I thought you saw The Village.
No, I probably wouldn't see it.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if The Witch was going to go in that direction or if
like
it was not going to go in that direction.
Kind of
and I still don't know. Like,
well, I do think... So do you think you would have liked it better if they... Because I think Robert Eggers.
Bobby. We can call Bobby him
Bobby. Eggers. Movies so far... have had this setup where he could make the decision to end it 5 minutes earlier and leave you not knowing. Do you think right. you would have liked it better if they hadn't shown that final scene?
I actually do. I read about The Lighthouse, and I feel like his ideas were probably more communicated successfully here.
In The Lighthouse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it seems to be a more contained film. The Witch, I actually feel like, was just trying to do too much.
Wow.
Which is funny for a film where almost nothing happens.
Wow. Slanderous libel on behalf of my co-host.
No, I mean, that's
the host of this show.
I respect your opinion.
Besmirches my number one, okay?
Well, you know what's the best part? I know you're not going to besmirch my number one.
Why?
Because it's one of the best film. It is the best film of all time.
I can't even imagine what could be better than The Witch. But go ahead.
So this film, I like to view it more as the franchise, honestly. Mm. It is one of those rare, if maybe the only exception in my opinion, where every single one of these films is just so important, and they tackle different issues and different themes. And I just taught this film in my class last week, and I showed them the opening scene to every single one, and I explained, I made them analyze every single opening scene, and they got it. And I was just like, there's no other franchise I can play in my class where I just show them the opening scene and they understand what's being tackled in that movie just off of the opening scene. And this director is my favorite director of all time, my favorite horror director as well. He passed and it made me really sad, but I would absolutely die for Wes Craven. Do you know what franchise I'm talking about?
Wishmaster.
Huh?
Wishmaster.
Is that a
that might thing? Be before your time.
Oh man, yeah.
Did he do? I forget.
Scream.
Oh my God, really?
Scream is my favorite American export of all time.
Really?
I would die for every single
Scream. And it holds up between number two and number three.
Yes, absolutely. Because let me break it down right now. So okay. Scream 1 was all about poking fun at itself. First off, let me just say, Wes Craven basically created the slasher genre, right?
What was
he
that?
He created
what was
it first? With The Last House on the Left, 1971. And everyone has gone on record as recognizing that as the first slasher film. Hmm. Not only
not,
on top
not
of that,
even,
Halloween came after.
I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the one with the thing and the kids at the end, they shoot the guy.
Bay of Blood. Remember, Bay of Blood is Italian. So when I'm when we're talking about slasher films, we're talking about American films.
American
it's
slasher.
A very yeah.
Okay.
The giallos did come before before the slashers, and the giallos were.
Although wait, weren't they gonna market Bay of Blood as the Left House on the Left too?
Yes. So
okay,
Last
so
House on the Left
out.
Actually preceded. Bay of Blood, yeah, by a few years. So Last House on the Left was really like the first, like...
The first?
Yeah, the very, very, very first one. But again, that was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Fucking Wes Craven gave us the most iconic slasher dude in the 80s.
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so just thinking of his...
Wow, so he's
then,
already, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, at the tail end of the slasher movement, this MFer was like, I'm going to make a movie that is both serious, but is going to poke fun at all of the shit that I helped create. And I can't imagine being that smart. Just in the opening scene of Scream 1, Drew Barrymore talks shit on Nightmare on Elm Street. One, she was like, yeah, only the first one's good, but the rest of them are absolute garbage. And like,
oh,
just,
that's
like,
funny.
It's just funny. It was just like amazing. So Scream 1 is all about, you know, the slasher genre in general. Then Scream 2 is even more radical because
so?
It starts off discussing the absence of Black people in horror. And it is just high meta. And fun
but
fact.
But does it stay with that?
It does stay with that.
Okay.
So, fun fact, Wes Craven was pretty much the only horror director that made horror films for Black audiences. He made People Under the Stairs, and he made Vampire in Brooklyn, just to name a few.
Okay.
I love John Carpenter. I love all of the main horror guys, but none of them gave a fuck about Black audiences. Wes Craven was, I mean, of course he could have done more, but he mm-hmm. did a lot more than everyone
than
else.
The rest of the game.
Yeah. So it opened up with that Black horror critique. And then throughout the rest of the film, Sydney, the other main character in Scream 2 is a Black woman.
Uh-huh.
So that is carried throughout that.
Okay.
Then Scream 3 does this really funny thing. I think it's genius. It is the most unpopular of all of them because I think it's the one that's least connected horror-wise. I think it's also the funniest one. But in Scream 3, it's all about celebrities and Hollywood. It is the only Scream that is set in Hollywood. It is all about the making of a film. It's super meta,
yeah.
But I love it. I think it pulls it off very well.
Okay.
And what I love is that those three Screams came out within about like 5 years of each other. They were like boom, boom, boom. Wes waited 10 years before coming back to the genre. And in 2011, the horror genre looked completely different. You know, Saw had already been a thing. Insidious had come out. Horror was getting more extreme. The Asian wave had just kind of petered off by then and things like that. And he tackles all of those topics in the first 5 minutes of Scream 4 after a 10-year absence. And it's just like, I it's so genius, you know? And it ends on, he died like literally 6 months after Scream 4. It was his last release.
No.
Yeah. And I just like, can you imagine just going out on a bang like that? You know, you went out with four films that are arguably parody films, but they're very effective horror films as well. They're they're actually scary. They're actually funny. He was able to maintain the same cast for all four of those films, you mm-hmm. know, and he was able to still bring in new elements every single time. And I don't think there are smarter horror films out there. I really think that Scream is the pinnacle of it. I will go to my grave defending it. That's actually why I chose Scream over It Follows. I think It Follows is one of the most intellectual films ever made. But Scream is consistent for four effing movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone will ever come close to topping that kind of consistency.
Not until, well, yeah, consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say Leprechaun, but not until I make the final movie.
But, you know,
but then the consistency won't
I know
be
you're
there.
Joking, but, the, you know, different directors. That guy wrote and directed every single one of those films. Actually, I'm really upset because apparently they have greenlit Scream 5.
Okay.
And I'm like, how in the fuck are you going to make Scream 5 when he's dead?
Yeah.
He's the one that wrote every single one of those films. You know what I mean? Like, go reboot Scream, fine, do whatever, but leave the original four alone.
Okay.
So I hope it does fall through.
I really do
because I like leave Sydney alone too. God damn, she's been through four movies and three different decades.
That's true.
And leave the girl alone.
Yeah. Do you think this series gets enough credit? Do you think people...
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I think
because I don't hear people talk about it.
No, I don't. For a few things. I think people really don't like Scream 3 because Scream 3 is not as horror-ish as the other three. And two, I think a lot of people, because they didn't like Scream 3, when Scream 4 came back, they didn't take it as
seriously. They were like, meh.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks because Scream 4 is much smarter than... I love Scream 3. I'm not about to say it's a bad movie because it really isn't a bad movie. But Scream 4 is eons smarter than Scream 3 because he had to really update the formula for 2011 and make it relevant. And he did. You know, and again, that's a different villain for every single movie. It's not the same villain.
Right. It's a horror whodunit.
And to make it... No, it really is.
Yeah.
And to make it consistent. Because no matter what you think about the films, all of the reveals make sense. You know, there are little surprises that we learn along the way. Like we learn that Sydney has like a secret brother and blah, blah, blah. But it all makes sense. You know,
remember when I had a roommate that looked like the killer from the first Scream movie?
I think that's just going to turn people on.
Yeah, true. I mean, he was very attractive, but I wasn't sure if he was going to be nice or a literal
Skeet
murderer.
Ulrich. Yeah. I mean, Skeet Ulrich has a career now.
But wait, is Skeet? Oh, right. That's Skeet Ulrich. Who's the other guy?
Matthew Lillard,
who I absolutely love so much.
Yeah,
he was getting so much work back in the day.
Yeah, you know what's so funny? I'm beginning to rewatch Twin Peaks, and Matthew Lillard is in the new episodes, and I'm like,
"Oh, really?
Thank you, David Lynch, good, for giving him a job."
Did you ever see the show Weird Science?
The movie?
There was a show.
Oh no, I remember the movies with like Robert Downey Jr., right?
Maybe. There was a show, and I think he was in it and he was great, but if he wasn't in it, it was a great show. Anyway, one other thing about Scream.
Yeah,
I think it's so notable that it's an iconic character mask.
It is.
Did that mask exist before Scream? Because it looks like a dollar store mask.
I think this is something that we can quickly look up. I think there's actually a really interesting story behind it. Let me go ahead and pull it up because you're absolutely right, though. Jesus Christ, he did Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And then this MF-er created Ghostface.
And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to do... And it's almost... It's so cool because he really read the moment with that first Scream movie, too.
No, he really did because... Yeah. That was kind of the point. It was not the point past No Return. Like, I Know What You Did Last Summer was out around that time. We had films like Valentine, Urban Legend coming out around then. So the slasher film wasn't completely dead. I think it died with Saw and the turn of the millennium. But he made Scream in 1996. And he knew that it was coming to a close. I think that's why he also... stopped with Scream 3. I think Scream 3 marks the end of the slasher. I don't think there were any other popular slashers after Scream 3. And I mean, a lot of it, you know, is because of the fact that Scream 3 did kind of bomb.
Yeah.
And because of that, people realized that it had been kind of oversaturated.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we are. The Ghostface mask was first developed for novelty stores during the Halloween season between 1991 and 1992 by a Fun World employee. The final design was approved by the Fun World president. Craven.
That's amazing.
Wes Craven claimed to have originally found the mask, but later clarified that his producer was the one who discovered it. So it looks like his producer.
They just found it at Fun World or something? At
a Fun World.
Or
and
whoever was Fun World was distributing
it. It took off.
That's so funny.
And obviously, Ghostface mask is reminiscent of a very famous painting.
The Scream?
The Scream, yes. Okay. So that is...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, basically, they just randomly found the mask and made it iconic.
Yeah, and it's funny because it instantly becomes like a dime store mask.
Yeah.
But then it's still scary. It still has the power. It's still...
I used to have... And this was back when I was like 7 or 8. So this is how fucked up of a kid
little
I was.
May.
We used to go trick-or-treating at SeaWorld. And back then, I don't really see these around anymore, so I wonder what happened. I had a bleeding Scream mask.
Oh, like when they would...
I had a little pump,
uh-huh.
And I would... My favorite thing to do, and so this is how much of a sociopath I am, I would walk up to random, like, kids smaller than me, and I would fiercely do it.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom getting so mad at me.
Yeah.
I thought it was just so cool.
It was.
Yeah, so 7-year-old me loves Scream, and I think those films are just
so wait, the best. Real quick, pick one favorite.
If I had to pick a favorite, I would probably do this is like by 1%.
Okay.
I think it actually would be Scream 4.
Okay.
Just because I love how radical it is almost. I really love Scream 2 though. Because I really love the inclusion of black commentary in it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's just so smart and timely. It almost disappoints me that he didn't, you know, carry follow that through
with
yeah.
that. Yeah.
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 But Scream 1, you know, Scream 1, Scream 1. And then, you know, that always makes like Scream 3 last. But I always feel bad saying that because I really do think Scream 3 is just as good as all of them. I think that... It tackles like celebrity culture before social media was a thing, before like TMZ was a thing. That's it. Like watching Scream 3 now, you're just kind of like, whoa, this was before fucking 9/11, you know, like it was
different worlds.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scream.
Wow.
I'd die for Scream.
And there they are. Our top fives.
Tens.
Tens.
Five tens.
5 + 5 = 10.
Yeah.
So yeah, now we can ruin the spoiler. What are we talking about? Where do we go from here? We've talked about five of the greatest movies.
Yeah.
All over the globe here in the United States.
I think what's next is an idea that I floated to you previously.
Okay.
It's going to be one of two ideas, so I guess it'll be a surprise, listener.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe we could do foreign Christmas movies because, weirdly,
I would love that.
There are a lot of them.
Yep. Are there? I'm just saying, yep. I don't know.
There's Rare Exports is the main one, but funnily enough, my kids, for their extra credit assignments, they found a bunch of films I had never heard about.
Yeah.
And a couple of them were Christmas films. And I was like, thanks, guys. Thanks for doing my research.
Yeah.
So shout out to you guys. I hope you listen to this before the end of the semester. Before November 30th, right?
Before November 30th,
yes.
When everyone's
okay.
listening
so
to this
So you
podcast.
Will listen to this before the end of the semester. Yeah. So maybe that. But I think what might be a better one, because maybe we should do two in December. I think our next one might be American films through foreign lenses.
Oh, right. You did mention that a little bit on the last one.
So,
American
for example,
Midsommar.
Oh,
we didn't. Right. Yeah. I think. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Midsommar. Gotcha. A lot of my kids were like, "Does that count?" And I'm like, "It's actually an American film. It's an American production, but he places it in Sweden. Yes. And what does that mean?
Exactly. There's a lot to pick apart there.
A lot of American directors love doing that. They love play the Grudge remake. Actually,
has that happened? Oh, because it was initially a Japanese movie.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. No, remember the 2001?
That's the remake you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the remake I'm talking about. I know there's weirdly another one coming out, and I don't understand why. But the one that was originally remade, they didn't set it in America. They set it in Japan, but she was an American. So those are the kind of innocuousies?
No
Did
idea.
I just create a word?
Yes.
Anachronisms in a way that we have noticed in a lot of films, and so we're gonna pick a couple and what are the implications.
I've been dying to talk about Midsommar.
Yeah, I think that'll be our next one.
Yeah,
Midsommar will definitely be included. Okay. We need to figure out the rest of them.
Cool. Yeah.
So this was really pleasant.
This was great. Yeah, I've got some new movies to watch, and hopefully the listeners, maybe you guys at home, have some new movies to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And both of these episodes will be up once our season premieres. And please send in feedback.
Tell your friends. Your horror buddies.
Yes. And we'll see you soon. Yeah?
Yes, we'll see you from our haunted house to your haunted heart.
Goodbye.
We're Horror Spirit.